That's a good little exercise. Just then, right, we did some deep work. I know that may not have been around your business specifically, but it's a nice process to follow. And it took 15 minutes, but it can completely change the game for your business. So that's a great example of deep work, right? So we talked about these three ideas around focus: clear task, distraction-free environment, and a set time frame. Now remember, the big idea that we're talking about today, or right now, is productivity. And it's very much your own personal productivity in your business and how you actually lead your business through that process. So we've talked about these three forces, which is this section here. Now, let's talk about the next big idea. I think you need to learn how to prioritize prioritizing. I was running a workshop the other day and I asked a question: what's the hardest part around being productive in your business? And a lady put up a hand and she said, just doing my priorities. And so I said, okay. Well, I said, how come you don't do your priorities? And she said, well, I think most of the time I don't actually know what they are. And so often people say, oh, well, you've got to do your priorities. But one of the challenges with doing something is a lot of the time there's actually an action before it that prevents you from doing the thing. It's almost like procrastinating. Procrastinating, a lot of the time people think, oh, it's maybe there's just not enough desire around the action. And it might be that, but a lot of the time is because there's not enough clarity in the action. So they haven't actually clarified what they specifically need to do, so their brain is not understanding it with enough clarity to take action. So the problem is not desire, a lot of the time it's clarity. And so prioritizing is actually saying, at the start of each day, I'm actually going to spend some time to prioritize what my priorities are for the day. Because if you don't spend that time, you're not going to have your what? Your clarity, yeah. You're not going to have your actual priorities. Turn to the person next to you, ask them, are they a morning shower or a night shower person? Turn to the person, morning shower or night shower? Like, what's their favorite? What's your favorite? Morning shower or night shower person? Okay, show of hands, who here is a morning shower person? Who's a morning shower person? Morning shower people. Who is more a night shower person? Like, love the night shower. Who's like those really clean people? It's like, oh, I just have to have both every day. Yeah? A bath person. So, what is a shower? What is a shower? Don't get all spiritual on me, guys. Yeah, it's a happy place. It's a place to relax and cleanse. It's a relaxation. It is a soul cleansing experience. It's a routine, right? Let's just be honest. It's a routine that gets you clean. So it's a routine, okay? Now, I'm a morning shower person, so I don't have showers much at night, and so don't hang out with me in the night, basically. I'm all right this morning. I'm kind of like edging into that back end of the day. But I'm a morning shower person. Now, if you're a morning shower person and you don't get your morning shower, how's your day going to go? Bad, right? You just know it's going to go bad straight away. That's what prioritizing is. Is if you don't prioritize prioritizing, your day's going to go bad. Everyone say bad. Bad. It's going to go bad. And so if you don't get clear on your priorities, you're going to fit into someone else's priorities on your day. Now, one of the challenges is that we set unrealistic expectations for ourselves. So for example, we have this very long list of about 52 things that we have to do, and we say, you know what? I'm going to smash this list. And within about 4 seconds, we have another thing to put on the list, or 3 things to put on the list, and we've done one of them. And so we go, I'm moving backwards. Who's ever felt like that? So, things are moving backwards fast. And so the problem is that productivity is very much a brain game as it is an actual execution game as well. Because if you feel like you're making progress, you're actually going to produce more progress because your head's in a better space. So if you're feeling like you're just drowning, then you're not going to be producing as much results. So prioritizing is having a routine at the start of each day where you actually prioritize your priorities. You sit down, you get clear on your day. Like I said, most people have unrealistic expectations of themselves. Is anyone here a part of the self-beater club? You know, you beat yourself up? You know, you're like, you shoot all over yourself? The self-beater club, right? Has anyone got like a membership for it? Like a platinum member of the self-beater club, right? And it's like, oh, I should have been doing this. I should have been doing that. right? You shoot all over yourself all day, and you finish your day, and you just, you know, pile of should. And you don't feel great. You don't feel great. So I recommend 3 to 5 priorities for the day. So have a look at your day and get really clear on your day in terms of what you actually want to get out of your day. And it's not just things that you've got to get done, but it's also significant tasks. So Stephen Covey, you know, created a brilliant matrix a long time ago. You would have seen it. It's the urgent important matrix. Most of you would have seen it. And so basically it says, he says that we prioritize the urgent over the important. And he said, the more you can work on the important and not just the urgent, then eventually the stuff that would eventually become urgent, you actually get released from because you've done the important stuff. So you're not just always fighting fires all the time. So, and the brilliant thing about the matrix, if you've ever seen it, is that basically instead of saying that urgent is on the right-hand side, because most matrixes, you always are trying to get to the top, he said that low urgency is actually on the right-hand side instead of high urgency. And that was the distinction that he made. So most people are functioning in this top level, and they're saying they're doing important work, but it's urgent all the time. They're not doing any important work that's not urgent, which really starts to release you from the urgent stuff all the time. So that was the beautiful distinction that Covey made. And so you got to prioritize prioritizing, right? You got to get your priorities straight. One of the little tools that I use is called the Daily Output Booster. And it's just like a one-page cheat sheet that kind of just prioritizes your priorities for the day. To be honest, you can use a piece of paper, right? But I've got a little tool that I use with my clients. This was a client of mine just recently. He just wrote an email to me. He's a small business owner and runs a performing school. He was in Melbourne. And he said, hey, Colin, thanks for checking in because I wrote an email. It was automated. And he thought it wasn't. Nice guy, but it was great meeting him at Manly. He saw me at an event that I spoke at, and he said, I was actually just reflecting as to that I've been using the daily execution plan. He used the wrong name, but anyway. And it's been working really well. I've managed to get the most of the important stuff done for today, and it isn't even lunchtime. Usually I'm scrambling to finish things by the end of the afternoon, but I'm looking forward to coming back after lunch, getting time to get more stuff done. Daniel. And so this is just an example of a guy who learnt this prioritizing principle, right? So he got clear at the start of each day and got really focused in terms of his clear tasks and most important tasks for the day. Does that make sense? Cool. Next key principle. Now this is crucial. This here is a complete game changer. Themes. You have to theme your world. What do you have to do? Theme your world. Now, a theme is a thematic idea or goal that your business will head towards for a season. So Patrick Lencioni, in his great book, 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, if you lead a team, recommend you read it. 5 Dysfunctions of a Team, he talks about around creating commitment. He said, commitment comes from clarity, not from asking for commitment. And so when you have clarity of direction, then commitment will come in your team. So it's not that they're not committed, it's that they don't have clarity. And one of the ways to get clarity around commitment is a thematic goal. Vern Harnish talks about it. He talks about this thematic goals, right? So what is the theme in your business? Some of you even asked me when you were doing the productivity question, you're saying, what's a theme, right? And so a theme is a contextual idea, and it's usually made up of around 1 to 3 words that frame what the big idea is for or the direction of your business for a season. So I'll give you an example. One theme that I used in my business a little while ago, it was for a quarter. The theme that I used was credibility. So it was around building credibility. And it wasn't that I wasn't credible as a person. It was that I didn't have enough references so that people came to my website and said, this guy's really credible, because credibility sells. What does credibility do? Sells big time, right? And so that's why awards and so forth are so great. And so I was really focused on getting a certain amount of testimonials, a certain amount of video testimonials, written testimonials around my business. And I had this idea around credibility. And so within one quarter, I went out and got, honestly, probably five times the amount of testimonials that I'd gathered in 5 years of business in one quarter. And so within 90 days, I was able to, you know, quadruple the credibility from an external perspective of my business. Now, did I have other goals that I was going after? Yeah, but that was kind of like the theme that emanated through everything that I did. So a thematic goal or a thematic idea is a big contextual idea that your team and yourself can get around. Now, there's three things that a theme needs. How many?
Three.
Three is a good number. There's three things that a theme needs. The first thing that a theme needs is it needs meaning. Meaning. So what I mean by meaning is there needs to be a reason why you're doing it. For what purpose? And a meaning could be a story. It could be a story of an experience that you had and you're sharing to your team of why this theme or this idea is important to the business right now. It might have been a customer experience or something like that. It needs a meaning. It also needs a metaphor. A metaphor. Now, a metaphor is like, it's like a symbol or a, so the metaphor for this actual idea is deer running through water. That's the metaphor. And so the metaphor helps you to understand this idea about the theme should emanate through everything that you do for that season. Does that make sense? So the metaphor helps you to understand it on a different level. It actually helps you understand it from a right brain perspective, because most people operate from business from a left brain perspective, which is great because that's the numbers and that's what you've got to track. But the right brain is a huge motivator and engagement piece. So if you've got meaning in terms of like reasons why you're doing it and that you can articulate to your team, and you've got a metaphor of what it's like, and also you've got a metric to track it. So a metric. A metric. So these three things create a really powerful, theme. So another example of a business I worked in, they had a theme of 90 in 90. And so for 90 days, each department, it was a really large council that I was working with, each department had this big thermometer up on the wall, and they had post-it notes, and the thermometer had like checkers, and they had to put 90 important tasks that the team wanted to get done or the department wanted to get done in 90 days. So it was 90 and 90 was the theme. They had a thermometer, and then they had a metric which was tracking it with post-it notes. And they said to me that was the most productive quarter they've ever had in the entire history of the council, right? Because people had a sense of progress. They had this metaphor that kind of surrounded it, and it was a one idea that kind of brought the whole team together as opposed to everyone's individual goals. Does that make sense? So another theme might be, you could just simply say the themes around growth. And what does growth look like? So you could have a metaphor of like a plant. So you could have more plants around there, or you could give everyone a packet of seeds and you actually plant some things. You can do some funny stuff like that, right? And you give some meaning around why that's important and what it looks like. What are some kind of examples of it? And then a metric around what growth looks like for them personally. So it might be around increasing sales, or it might be around increasing conversations that they have with people, because sales is a ends result as opposed to a means result. So in terms of tracking, I would recommend tracking means results as opposed to not just always tracking ends results. So a means result is like a action they can take. An ends result is a sale. So if you track means, then you're going to get ends. But if you just track ends, you're not going to know what the means that they are doing or how much they're doing to get the ends. Does that make sense? Yeah. So with metrics, I would recommend tracking means and not just ends goals. So the meaning is like a story. So you've got to share a story. You've got to share a symbol. And you've got to share a statistic. So you've got kind of two right brain elements, and you've got a left brain element that undergirds it, which really tracks it and adds credibility to it. So I'm wondering what themes are happening or could happen in your business. And to be really frank, if you get this idea, it completely can change your business, because people get around this big idea. And if it's up in your business, it's around there. People are talking about it in meetings. And it basically helps you to every single day think about that theme. It's like a heartbeat in the back of your head that's just beating every single day. And it's so simple, but it's been said that simplicity, in the essence of simplicity, is wisdom. And so it's not about complexity, it's about simplicity. So you've got a little worksheet in there. So I want to work this in your business right now. So you've got the theme builder. Can you see that there? The theme builder. You found it? Yeah, you got it? Everyone say yes if you got it?
Yes. Yeah.
So there's three levels of themes. How many?
Three
levels of themes. There is your year theme, which is the big overarching theme that you want to run through your business for the year. So that might be around growth. It might be around customer service. It might be around excellence. It might be around, and it's usually just one or two words or three words at the most, right? So it's vague, but the purpose of it is to be vague so it contextually can organize all your other stuff underneath. So you've got a theme for the year, a theme for each quarter, and ultimately, I would recommend you having a theme for each day. And what I mean by theme for each day is each day you can actually contextually say, what do I want to be focusing on? Not all day, but each day, what do I want to be focusing on in my business? So for me, my themes that run through my day is a thing like Monday is my thinking day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is my delivery day. So if you were to have a coaching session with me or you do a workshop with me, I will pretty much always say, so what day works best for you, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday? And you don't know, but you're just being put in my schedule, right? You don't know that, but you have. And so that theme just kind of helps me to organize my week, if that makes sense. And then Friday is my marketing sales day, as a generalization. Do I stick to it 100%? No, probably about 90% of the time I'll stick to that in terms of that structure, but it's simple and it helps me to organize stuff. Does that make sense? So I would be really happy if you could get your theme for this quarter. So this quarter, or maybe even next quarter, coming into next quarter, where are we at? What's the date? The 21st of, is it August? August. So July, August, September. We're kind of halfway, almost at the end of this third quarter of the year. So even if you could think about your business, what could be a theme that could run into like the back end of the year? I'd be really happy if you could come up with one theme, because I just want you to get this idea, because you can keep reproducing it. Get this idea of what's the theme that could run through your business for the next quarter, and maybe even what's the theme that kind of overarches this year. So if you can get one quarter and one year, I'd be really happy. We have some thinking music, please, DJ. Have some fun. Go for it. How'd you go? What'd you notice? What are some of the themes that you came up with? Who can just shout them out? What are some themes?
Drive sales. Great. What else? What's another theme?
Scalability.
Scalability. Love it. What else?
Culture.
Culture. Fantastic. What else?
Referred work.
Very good.
I like the one you've given me. It's gone so far now. But I had results, and Connor suggests that I use transformation, but it's taken on so much more meaning now. So, yeah, I'm loving it.
So it was about skincare,
yeah.
And it was around seeing the results before and after and kind of capturing that.
Furthermore, then the transformation theme will carry on, because I always tell my therapist that when you've got a before and after, that you can visibly prove to yourself that you've transformed from a beauty therapist to a paramedical level technician. The transformation will go on from there into there.
Well, yeah. Wow, so good, right? So that's why I said the words that you use is important, because results, it's like results. But the transformation, it has a different level of depth or impact, the word. You know, words have different impact. So think about the words that you use, it's important. I was just chatting with Peter, and he volunteered, he said, I really want to share this with the group. No, he didn't. I said, mate, I need you to share this. Can you share that example of when you used this a while ago and what the team said?
It was July last year. It was from Steve's teachings, you know, about inch wide, mile deep. So they gave me the theme, so I just went off that. But it was more so I themed it inch wide, mile deep, and I used the metaphor of a laser-guided missile with target, so it can be deep and impacting, but it's targeted. And then we had measurements. So when I presented that to the team, the number one thing they said in the whole time that they've worked with me, they had clarity.
So good.
Let's give him some love. Give him some love. Good old Pete. Legend. Well done. So the team said they had clarity. And when they have clarity, they can have what? Commitment. So clarity comes before commitment. Don't expect your team to have commitment if they don't have clarity. Because it's like, where on earth are we going? And so they need to have clarity to have commitment. Helpful? Cool, hey. So what I would recommend for you to do is literally take those words, put it on a big piece of paper, maybe use like PowerPoint or Keynote, get the image, buy like a nice image online, or you can, you know, search it or whatever, and put it up in your business and kind of have it up there and just think about these themes as you're going through the quarters and so forth. Now, I don't have it here, but I use a kind of like this big A3 chart that I've designed, and basically it's got like my theme, it's got my goals, it's got my projects. So, but what I'm saying is like just have some sort of, you know, thing up in front of you that you can see that has a theme or just reminds you of that focus. Does that make sense? Because you forget. You forget. So you got to remind yourself regularly. So yeah, that's what my thing work looks like. I do a 90-day method, which I've built. It's like a big A3 chart. It's got all my projects, got my vision, it's got my theme, all that sort of stuff, right? This is a guy who I was working with recently. He's a national manager for Gloria Jeans, and I was working with him on themes. And he said, he wasn't national manager at the time, he's actually New South Wales manager, and he said, we have the number one spot for sales growth and are now ahead of budget for the year. The team's morale is high and very focused. And basically, he was like fourth state in Australia, and he moved to number one from themes. He literally said themes have completely changed the business. And so the power of this is phenomenal. How you guys doing, all right? Everyone say, I'm doing good. Doing good, all right, bring your energy. Bring your energy. So the next key principle is work your genius. Work your what? Genius, work your genius. There is stuff that you're really good at and stuff you're really bad at. One thing that I'm really bad at is directions. For some reason, I missed the male gene of knowing where I'm going in terms of driving. So my dad is like a human GPS, to the point of, you know, I would ring him up and say, Dad, when I was younger, I was like, Dad, I'm in, you know, this was before like iPhones and things like that. I'm in Marrickville on, you know, Stacey Street. And he'd be like, oh, yeah, no problems. Like, it's the one with the shop on the right and the sign's hanging down a little bit. And then you can see on the left the poles a little bit over. And then it goes up the top there. And then there's Michael Street and Matthew Street up the top there. And I'm like, yes, that one. And it's like some random, I'm in a back street, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, go right, go left, go straight, and then follow the highway all the way home. So I missed out on that gene. And so that, what do you do when you miss out on that gene? When you're young, you become a pizza delivery driver. So I became a pizza delivery driver, and it was something I was really bad at. And so think of me, like I'm like 19 years old, right? I'm in university. I'm a pizza delivery driver. This is before like iPhones, all that sort of stuff. What do you need to be good at when you're a pizza delivery driver, do you think? Directions, right? So I'm working for this pizza shop, and most of the guys are delivering about 6 or 7 pizzas an hour, like pretty easily. And so I'm like struggling to deliver 1 pizza an hour. And so I remember the pizza owner coming up to me and saying, Colin, mate, I've got to be frank with you. You're not that great at delivering pizzas. How about you work in the pizza shop with all the boys, and you work in the pizza shop? And I thought, you know what, all right, I'll give it a go. And so I went into the pizza shop. And so we're working one night, and they said, mate, get on the dough with Mario. There's this big Italian guy, right? And he's pumping out the dough. And you can imagine this little pizza shop, like it is firing. There is like, you know, the wood fire pizzas going, there's flames going everywhere. People are running all over the place. There's this big kind of display area in the middle where they're making all the dough and everything. And there's about 5 staff in there. It's just mayhem. And everyone's pumping out the dough. And this big Italian guy, he goes to me, we're making the dough, and I'm like struggling. Like I'm kind of bad at this thing as well. And And I'm trying to make the dough. And he turns to me and he says, Colin, he goes, we've run out of dough, mate. This is my best accent. He goes, mate, we've run out of dough, mate. Go get the dough. It's in the trolley. And I was like, all right, it's in the trolley. And so I head down. This is like my first night on, right? I head down and then I walk and I see these stairs, these like deep, dark stairs that go into this like dungeon area. And I like head down into there and I'm down there. It's kind of low light. And I'm looking around. There's all like piles of things and bags and rubbish and all this sort of stuff down there. And I see the trolley. So it's like a shopping trolley and it's got some bags in there. It's got like these big sticks hanging out and all sorts of stuff. And I thought, well, it's obviously the trolley. And so I pull it out and I'm pulling it up the stairs, right? I'm pulling it up the stairs, no word of a lie, pulling it up the stairs and I pull it out. And then like the pizza shop is going like ballistic, right? Because they're just charging. And I head in with this massive shopping trolley into this tight little pizza shop and I've got sticks hanging out and bags hanging out and I'm like pushing out and people are like, what the hell are you doing, mate? And I'm headed in and Mario turns around. He's pumping doing the dough, turns around. He goes, what the fuck, mate? He goes, not that trolley, the other trolley, man. And I'd brought the wrong trolley up, right? So the trolley I was supposed to bring up was this little trolley that was about this high and it had a big bag of dough on it. But I brought up the rubbish trolley. So I didn't last long in the pizza shop, basically. That is an example of someone doing something they are very incompetent at. And that was me. Now, over the journey of my experience of my career and my business, I've found stuff that I'm good at. And, you know, in terms of my, I guess, my genius space, my thinking, my genius space, my strengths, it's like coming up with like marketing plans. It's having coaching conversations with people. It's running training sessions. But I didn't know any of this stuff until that trial and error and actually getting clear on it. So I'm wondering what your genius space is. What is the thing that you are completely brilliant at? The stuff that only you can do in your business. Now, there's a guy called Dan Sullivan. He runs Strategic Coach over in Toronto, in Canada. And he created this great framework. And basically, he said there are four levels that people function on in their business. Four levels that people function on in their business. They function on incompetent, competent, excellent, and genius. So I would say pizza delivery driving for me sits here, right? I would say dough making and finding dough in the back dock fits there. Competent is probably like typing, running my database. I'm okay at it. Excellent, designing presentations, slides, designing like worksheets and workbooks. I'm pretty good at that. Genius is coming up with like IP, like those three circles. It's coming up with those concepts that really help people make dramatic changes in their life. That's, I think, what I'm genius at. And delivering those in front of people. So my genius space is probably is speaking, communicating, and coming up with those ideas. So I'm wondering, in terms of your business and the activities that you're doing, what is your genius space and where do the other kind of things sit in terms of this spectrum? So there's a worksheet for you, if you could turn to the worksheet, and I want you to find the genius maker. It's called the genius maker. And so I would like you to spend some time and just jot down in terms of, think about all the activities that you have in your business, and I want you to write down and be honest with yourself, you know, the difference between excellent and genius is it's like you were born to do it. It's the thing that lights your boat. You're passionate about it. You're very good at it. You've got a natural talent in it. Excellent is something you've worked incredibly hard at and you're probably brilliant at, but it's not as natural as the genius stuff. Does that make sense? So have a think about it. I want you to write down different activities in your business that you do that fit in those different areas. Go for it. Have some fun. Don't get it right. Just give it a go.
What did you notice? What can you share?
Remember that you are good at something.
Remember that you actually are good at something. That's a good thing. Yeah, sometimes it takes a while to find it. Yeah, because we just kind of get sidetracked by all this kind of other stuff that we're doing. Very good. What else?
Trustworthy.
Trustworthy. saw it in the face.
A couple of things that can fell into two different categories. So you might be good at the tactical element of coming up with something,
yep.
like the back end, creation, typing, all that.
Yeah.
Something else.
Yeah, totally. So
coming at you good. So with you might have an overarching idea around maybe it's creating a newsletter. You're good at coming up with the idea, but the implementation of it, you kind of suck at. Yeah, that's me, right? So one of my friends, Taki Moore, talks about this idea of core versus mechanics, which is basically like in every task you have core elements and you have mechanics elements. So if you can imagine writing a newsletter. So for me, I do weekly video newsletters. If I look at the entire process of doing a video newsletter, there's about 9 steps probably, and it's about probably 8 hours of work in total to do one newsletter for the week that goes out for free. And so I probably spend 25 minutes of that 8 hours doing my newsletter. Everything else is done by everyone else. And so by my virtual assistant, by my videographer, etc. So the core elements of coming up with the idea and actually standing in front of the camera and shooting it is me. Everything else is my videographer and my other thing, because that's not my genius space. And so as much as you can, you need to outsource. Definitely you're incompetent. Probably you're competent and probably not you're excellent and you're genius. Yeah. So it doesn't mean you have to outsource it. No, not at all. But as a generalization, I would recommend it. Yeah, where you can. And if you can, I mean, as I use a lot of virtual staff, virtual, whether it be Elance or I've got a full-time virtual assistant as well, or even assistants in Australia and team in Australia is just as great. So, outsourcing that stuff is really, really helpful. Make sense? Yeah? So work in your genius space as much. Now, what do you do in your genius space? What do you use? What's one of the strategies you use that we talked about? That focus time, right? The focus time, the three elements. So you take the focus time, the three elements, plug that into your week and do like 3 of those a week in your genius space, and you're going to be creating stuff for your business that's going to start to lift it above the water and get a plane, and it's going to be doing things that are going to move your business forward and get momentum as opposed to just maintain. Does that make sense? But you're not going to find time for it. You have to make time for it because it doesn't scream at you. The interesting thing is that your genius doesn't scream at you. All the other stuff will scream at you because you're feeling tension around that stuff because the genius stuff probably doesn't have as much tension for you. And so our brain is designed to notice stuff that is more painful than rather the stuff that is more pleasurable. So because it notices stuff that's more painful, it has more attention. So we'll spend more time on it, and we have this kind of like, I just have to be good at everything thing. But if you watch people who are mega productive, they're not good at everything. They're actually good at a few things, and then they help get all support around for the rest of it. How you guys doing, all right? Cool. Some of you might have even noticed that you're not doing enough time in your genius space. So you're spending too much time in your competent space or your excellent space, and you don't have any time in your genius space. And if you were to put more time in your genius space, I just wonder what that would do for your business and even for your own personal life and your own personal fulfillment. I just wonder. I just wonder how it would feel to work in that more often. Very good. Turn to the person next to you, look him in the eye, look him in the eye, look him in the eye, say, you're a genius. Love it. Love it. So, let's talk about engaging your energy. Now, this is so crucial because have you noticed that you've got better energy at some points of the day and not so much energy at different points in the day? Personally, I grew up as a surfer, and when you ride a wave, there's different points in the wave where you'll get more momentum and different points where it will slow down. So when it slows down, the wave becomes fat. It's quite slow in terms of the volume of the actual wave and the speed of the wave. But when it's fast. So we're on to a new point, if you're wondering. Sorry. For time, I had to make a little adjustment. So, welcome, number 6. Yeah, so this is a better point than that was the one before. So, I wanted the best stuff for this. So, in terms of your energy pockets, what is crucial about this is some of you are wasting your best energy in your day on unimportant, low-impact activity. So you're booking in coffee chats with random people, and the impact of that is you're booking that in your high energy pocket times. And so when I'm in a high energy pocket, for me, it's like between 8 a.m. to kind of 10 a.m. So if you get time with me between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., you know that this is an important task for me in my business, etc. But if you just want to have a general coffee chat and just, you know, touch base, I'll say, how's 3 o'clock sound? Let's have a coffee at 3 o'clock. Because that's a low energy pocket for me. I'm okay to waste that. I need to have a bit of a rest. Does that make sense? But I am not going to use a high energy pocket on any activity that is not powerful or useful or high impact or dollar creating in my business. So, just like a wave, there's different points of power, just like your day. You may have heard of a circadian rhythm. A circadian rhythm is a rhythm that runs through nature and it runs through the human body. It teaches your body to sleep and teaches your body to stay awake, right? And so, kids don't have them. And so, they're opposites when they're born. And nocturnal animals. And then, what I want you to do right now is turn to the energy pockets method. Love it. The energy pockets method. I want you to map your day in terms of your energy, and I want you to find your energy pockets where you are most fresh. Where are your energy pockets? So how it will look on your map is like this, right? So you got your day, and so I want, and it may not look exactly like this, but I want you to just draw where you're highest, where you're lowest, how your day looks, and hopefully it won't be like that or like that, right? Because you're not a robot, you're not a computer, it's not a straight line, it's a flow. Go for it. Why don't you draw your energy pocket, your energy wave. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to circle on your graph, circle where your high energy pockets are. So put a circle around where it is and think about what you do most of the time at that point. And are you consciously, with volition, choosing what you should be doing at that period of time and protecting your energy pocket? You've got to protect it. What do you have to do? Protect it so you can engage it properly. Yeah? This can completely change the game in terms of your productivity. And so, I actually had an email from a guy in Denmark, and he said to me, he actually runs an organization over in Denmark, and he wrote to me and he said, Colin, this one idea has completely changed how I run my organization. I just wrote this in a newsletter one time, and it wasn't a video or anything. This was like back in the day when I thought of the idea. And he said, this completely changed my organization just from doing this in terms of how he was running his organization and his day. So, yeah. So in the high energy pockets, what you want to be doing is like strategic work, genius work, excellent work. You want to be doing deep work where you can. It may not be every day, but it's more often than you might be doing right now. Yeah. And in those times when someone asks you, hey, John, I'd love to catch up for a coffee. We haven't seen you for ages. And you say, yeah, perfect. And you think, Thursday is my social day. 3 o'clock in the afternoon is when I have a low energy pocket. How does 3 p.m. on Thursday sound? And he goes, oh, I don't think I've got anything on. He doesn't know what's going on. And you've just locked him into a low energy pocket on your social day, and all of a sudden you have control back of your life. How are we doing? Making sense? Cool. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're doing good. You're doing good. That's good. A woman that I've been working with, she works for Coca-Cola. Super switched on executive. She came to me, she had challenges with her inbox and so forth, and energy and her thinking and so forth. She wrote me this text the other day. She said, hey Colin, this is crazy in a great way. Inbox at zero every night, top 5 tasks done. We talked about that, prioritizing, plus nibbling extra back into the backlog, very productive, feeling it is easier to check out of work mentally at the end of the day, peace of mind growing. Thanks so much. Thank you for helping me create these results. So she did this stuff, right? She learned how to kind of engage her energy pockets, prioritizing. She was theming her world, all this sort of stuff, and it's making a huge difference for her. So let's have a chat about this last idea. And who here runs meetings? Does anyone here run meetings in their business? Yeah, cool. Most of you run meetings, even if you've got one staff member, or maybe even for yourself, if you don't have people in your business. I think it's important to run meetings. Now, there's certain types of meetings, and there's essentially two There's two things you need to get right with meetings. You need to get context right. So this isn't in your workbooks, but you can just draw it. You guys doing all right with the drawing today? So you need context and you need engagement. So I sat down one day and I thought, what are the four types of meetings that people have in organizations? And when I run this in organizations, like, it makes such a massive difference. So there's essentially only three types of meetings you're going to run. How many? Three types of meetings. You've got a task meeting, which is like a daily meeting. You've got a weekly meeting, which is like a tactical meeting. And then you've got like a monthly or bi-monthly or even yearly meeting, which is a strategic meeting. So you've got task, tactical, and strategic, right? So that is context, the type of meeting that you're running. So you could say right here is you get the meeting context right, and this is you get the meeting context wrong. On engagement, it is simply high engagement and low engagement. Now, this is what happens in your business, is you might get the context right. So for example, you're doing a strategic meeting. You get the context right. You've set aside time to do a strategy meeting. You're talking about strategy, but there's no engagement from your team. Now, I was thinking the other day, and I only just came up with this recently, and it got me so excited. I came up with what I think is the perfect metaphor for a meeting. I know that you're going to just be pumped on this. I'm thinking, what is the perfect metaphor for a meeting? And it's capoeira. Capoeira. Now, capoeira is a Brazilian dance fight. So it looks like people are, it looks like conflict, but no one gets hurt. Oh, that is good. Everyone say that's good. You got to get this. A great meeting, when you're in the right context and you've got high engagement, it's a robust conversation. And there's a sense of safety in the team and you can really nut out the ideas. And you've got this kind of high engagement and right context, and it's capoeira. It looks like fighting, but no one gets hurt. So, I know you guys are loving that, right? You guys have just been thinking about that for days. Capoeira, I don't know. It's taken me about 5 months to learn how to say it. So, this is what happens. If you get the context right, but there's no engagement, your meeting is dead. It's just boring, right? It's dead. Completely dead. If you get high engagement, so robust conversation with your team happening around an idea, but you're talking about the wrong stuff, so in other words, you're not talking about strategy, you're not talking about where you should be talking about strategy, you're not talking about tactics where you should be talking about tactics, you've got a daily meeting and you're talking about strategy and people are going, why on earth are we talking about this, right? But we're right into it. That is a distracted meeting. Does that make sense? Yeah? So it's high engagement, robust conversation, but wrong context. Now, if you have the wrong context and no engagement, that is just dumb. So that's a dumb meeting. Right? Everyone's sitting around, not really engaging, you're talking about the wrong stuff. But the goal of your meetings in your business is to create dynamic. And dynamic meetings are right context, so you're talking about the right stuff at the right time, and you've got high levels of engagement. It's robust conversation, it's capoeira. Does that make sense? How you guys doing? Yes? Makes sense? Dynamic, it's a dynamic meeting, so you've got to meet dynamically. So, that's the last idea I wanted to share today. So what I want you to do is have a chat with the person next to you. What's been most valuable from today's conversation for you? We've talked about focus, we've talked about the brain, we've talked about energy waves, we've talked about genius space, we've talked about doing those activities that are going to make big difference for your business, and we've talked about meeting dynamically, about prioritizing. There's been a ton of stuff. Chat with the person next to you. What's been most valuable from today's conversation? Go for it.
Mark, I like you, Mark. That's good. I heard you play the dish. I want to hear it.
Ah, good.
Very good. I love it. I love the dish. Mark,
most the energy pockets.
Energy pockets.
Yeah. Just working out and strategizing and working out how to use that throughout the day and not wasting it, not just throwing it away. Trying to do all the high jobs when I'm tired about.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what happens. We try to do the important stuff at 2 o'clock. Far out. Bit of love. Thanks, Mark.
For me, like setting those 50-minute time limits of doing something, I do work best under pressure when I know I've got a deadline, and you know, if I've left something to the last minute. So thinking about, you know, what can I get done in that 50 minutes, and then using the 10-minute break to, you know, walk across the road, have a good beach, or play the dog,
so
something
good.
Like that. Just
totally.
To
and giving yourself the permission to do that.
Yeah,
totally. It's like an artificial motivation.
Yeah, and the prioritising thing too.
Yeah, nice. Bit of love. Very good. Now, I had lost track of the other people who just helped me out. Who else put up their hand? They wanted to shout the back there. Yeah, we haven't heard from you. What was your name?
Monty.
Yeah.
I
love it, Monty.
Well,
Monty.
What I got out of it was pretty much working in your zone, like when you got energy, yeah. And then time it, so make it work. Pretty much that's it. What was the other thing I said?
It was good. What's that other brilliant thing I said? So good. Let's give Monty a bit of love. So good. And finally, there was one. Yeah, what was your name?
Guy.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Probably the theme building today, you know, setting something up to the theme, not only engage yourself, but engage others.
So good. Let's give Guy some love. Very good.
Now, so has today been useful, helpful in terms of today? So good. So I had a chat with Steve, and we were just talking about in terms of, you know, what's next steps. So, you know, if you really found the content super valuable, I had a chat with Steve, and he said, you know, what can you do for my guys? So obviously, you know, you can use the stuff we've used so far, but there is a whole nother level to this, right? We've just started to tap in the surface. So for those of you, it may not be for everyone, but for those of you who would like to take a next step, like with me, I've got a program which is called, it's called the Productivity Academy. My goal with the program was to create the most robust productivity program on the planet. And so we've talked today about 6 strategies of the 45. That are in the productivity program. Now, it is, if you remember when we talked about right at the start, it was the that big Venn diagram. It's gone. Maybe it's not there. That's all right. It was the one with the Venn diagram, the overarching, the mindset, the alignment, the implementation, that one that you guys drew. So that's what with inbox management, team flow, home flow. So if you've liked the worksheets that we've done, there's worksheets for all of those sections, strategies. We go deeper into all of that stuff. So that's the Productivity Academy. It's built around the 6 levels. So we go really even deeper into how to get above that line. So I really wanted to do something special for you guys. And like I said, this may not be for everyone, but for those of you who would like, really liked the stuff we talked about today and would like to take the next step, the Productivity Academy is an online program. So it's an online program. You can access it anywhere. All the content's online, but it's also got an offline element to it in terms of I run a 1 day where you come, the next one's on the 20th of November in Sydney, but I run them across the year. You don't have to make it to that one, but I run them across the year and you can kind of choose a date. You've got to come within 12 months of buying the program. So that's the day. Does that make sense? Yeah? So it's not 45 random ideas. It's organized. And it all makes sense in terms of the context and how it sits in. So that's the Productivity Academy. And like I said, you get all the tools. And the normal price that I do it at, that most people buy it at, is $997. So that includes the day. And it includes the offline day for implementation. And then also all of the online strategies, high definition video training, literally like me in a room like this. And they've just got short modules with worksheets. So it's normally $997, but I really want to do something special for you. Now, there's a sheet there. You can grab it if you want. There's a sheet on all of your desks if you want to have a look at it. And basically, instead of the $997, If you want to do the full program for today only, for you guys, it's half price, so it's $497. So that includes the online and the offline day. Or if you just want the online program, it's $397. Does that make sense? Yeah? So, but I wanted to do a super, super special deal. And it is, for those people who want to do the full program, I will also give you a strategy session, which I literally charge $500 for. Like, that's like no word of a lie. $500 for as an extra bonus if you do the full program, if you sign up to the full program. So whether you do the extra day or not with me, you'll still get your value. So for the first 10 people who want to do that program. So I'm going to hang around for lunch. You got the sheets there. So if you want to take the next step, go for it. If you don't, that's totally fine as well. It's been an absolute pleasure having this conversation with you. Who here got some value? Love it. So thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Big round of applause for Colin.
Thank you.
Thank you, mate.